Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Dr. Birgina Isbell. She is a board-certified psychiatrist, speaker, and best-selling author. Dr. Birgina, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks so much, Christopher. I appreciate it.
It's so telling about a person because I have this scheduling link and I always ask simple questions like what's most memorable. And you shared that you have a newborn son that smiled. And what makes that the most memorable moment over the last week, Birgina?
Oh goodness, that has some history to it. And that's part of my, that's part of the scientist that's in me. But there's this idea that's out there floating around in medical literature that says that, you know, children don't smile initially when they're first born because they're happy or because of the reasons that most of us adults or older children smile. You know, there's this thought that it's just a reflex and that it doesn't really have a lot of meaning to it. And I don't agree with that at all. I think that everything can have an underlying, very positive meaning to it. And I kind of tested that theory out with my firstborn and I followed it up with my second and then most recently with my third. So the story goes that when my daughter was first born, I purposely did not smile at her. And I know the parents on the who may be listening to this are going to just be like in utter shock, like, what? But I didn't. It was a little hard, but I didn't because science is so important, of course. So when she was first brought to me, I purposely did not smile because I wanted to see what she would do. Because the idea is that if a person smiles at them, then they're going to smile back. And that's reciprocal, or that it's just a natural reflex. So I purposely didn't smile at her. But when they brought her to me, she just looked at me and kind of matched my expression. And then all of a sudden, she just broke out in the biggest, like 1,000-watt Julia Roberts smile ever. And my heart just immediately melted. And I was like, okay, there's no way that this is reflex or reciprocity. This child initiated her own smile. So that was my own little, you know, my own little research project, N of one, which was my daughter. And she, now that she's 18, would tell you that I've done similar experiments on her over the course of the years, but they've all been pleasant. Trust me, they've all been pleasant things. And so my son did the same thing. And more recently with my newborn, he's 5 weeks old tomorrow. When he smiled at me last week, and again, it was one of those periods of time where I hadn't been smiling at him and it wasn't in his sleep. It was his first time smiling at me when he was awake. And that just, again, it melted my heart all over again.
Yeah. For me, whenever I don't have kids, but I have friends and family that have kids, and it just reminds me how pure kids are, especially babies. But thank you for sharing that. Because again, this podcast is all about how do we share our stories to inspire the world. Now, regarding what you do for a living, Dr. Birgina, you have a very impeccable pedigree, meaning you went to one of the top schools in the world, Johns Hopkins, for your bachelor. And then you also have a doctor, your medical doctor, and you work at the Mayo Clinic. So I'm curious, you have a very profound way of sharing your experience. And I'm just going to read specifically what you say on your LinkedIn, where you really believe that there is a cure for cancer of the soul and that you are more than a label. So let's talk about that, because that's a very powerful statement to share. Cancer of the soul.
Yeah. When I was training at the Mayo Clinic, one of the Mayoisms, if you've ever been around the Brothers Mayo or heard about their writings from literally over 100 years ago, one of their aphorisms or Mayoisms is the needs of the patient come first. And so that has basically been a professional life goal or edict that's just as powerful to me as the Hippocratic Oath, you know, at the least do no harm. In addition to that, one of my really profoundly brilliant professors said to me that she felt like depression was the equivalent of cancer. And we talked about the fact, we got into a long discourse at one point, and she said, yeah, I agree with you. I think that it can be said that cancer, depression is cancer of the soul. And that just stuck with me during that time. And I remember her saying, you know, that depression is incredibly treatable. It's just that sometimes people kind of get off along the way. And just like with cancer, you can go to a period of recovery, you can go into a period of remission. That's exactly how we describe depression when we describe it as being in untreated or not in remission, in partial remission, in full remission. And I think there are a lot of similarities there, and especially because there's a significant amount of stigma as it relates to mental health. Actually, it's changing quite a bit this year, because who's not been anxious or worried on some level as it relates to the pandemic? But prior to that, there was an incredible amount of stigma as it related to mental health. And being able to liken depression to a very widely publicized illness, one that people are very much willing to fight and come out about and talk about and have conversations about. I thought that was a brilliant statement, and I've just kind of held on to that through the years. And as it relates to labels, I think that, again, the stigma related to mental health is because we label people. And this is also something that I remember learning in my medical school career. Physicians, we used to say, oh, well, the schizophrenic in room number two, or the bipolar disorder over in the ward. No, that's not who that person is. They are so much more than their diagnosis. There's so much more. I mean, that's like saying, oh, and we used to do this as well. Oh, the hypertensive over in room eight, or the diabetic over here. No, that person has a name. So Ms. Smith in room eight, who happens to have a diagnosis of diabetes, or Mr. Jones, who's in room two, who happens to have a diagnosis of schizophrenia. You are so much more than the diagnosis or the label that people put on you. So in my private practice, particularly when people don't have to use insurance, when they're blessed enough to be able to pay out of pocket, we don't even put a diagnosis in their chart unless they need it later for reimbursement purposes, because I don't want to limit them to some archaic piece of paper that's based on, you know, information that we've only just now started to learn things about. We still don't know about exactly what happens when we think about conditions like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. We're probably going to be studying these things for at least the next 100 years. Breakthroughs happen every day, but I would never want to label someone with something that we don't fully and completely understand.
That's fascinating, Dr. Regina, because I was on a meditation retreat many years ago. It was a 10-day meditation retreat. And the person next to me, again, mind you, this is meditation retreat, so we're supposed to be meditating. But the guy next to me, he had a cold. He was just like slobbering all the time. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so frustrating. But again, I'm supposed to be Zen. But after the 10th day, I got to meet him because we can talk. And it turned out that he actually was a medical doctor. And after graduating, he was going to Burundi, Africa, one of the poorest places in the world. And he talked about how the people in Africa, at least that specific place, were saying, ha, 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 you guys in America talk about depression. Our form of correcting depression is just getting a job. You know, but the whole point was, it's just a perspective sometimes, where I'm not denying that there are certain medical issues that we all have, but before we even had a medical school or books to read from, we were human beings with different challenges. And in this guy's case, he's a doctor in Burundi, Africa, and just gave him perspective. Now, I love how profound what you shared in terms of, like, just it's so simple, where if you are a doctor, or if I am a speaker or coach and I want to help people, one of the basic things is just acknowledging that they exist. And I remember I started a homeless youth program in LA, largest shelter of its kind. And the first thing we'd always say is, we applaud you not for what you have done, but what you will do in the future. We applaud you simply for who you are. Now, why do you think that is so important? I mean, you are a board certified psychiatrist. Why do you think just acknowledging that they are a human being, irrespective of what label we put on them, why is that, do you feel so important?
Oh, because at our core, identity, who we are as a me, who my husband and I are as a us, that is so intimately tied to what you can do. And I think, unfortunately, in our country, you talk about the perspective in other countries. Certain countries don't look at themselves as individuals. They look at the group, the society, particularly certain Asian countries. I like the way that they think about each person as an individual is a part of the collective. And they think about the collective as more so than the individual, per se, in certain respects. But I think still understanding who you are as an individual, who you are as a person, and what you have to offer, just yourself, that is so incredibly important. And we wrote a course a year ago on the vision for success. And as a part of that, we did research to see, okay, what are some of the most Googled or researched responses on the internet right now in terms of identity, in terms of what people think about themselves. It's been said that we in America are in the midst of an identity crisis, particularly between the time frame of like 2016 up until now, looking at this current generation. And the most frequently Googled single term was purpose. And it took on a couple different iterations, including who am I? What is my purpose in life? Purpose-Driven Life, of course, a very popular book by Rick Warren that came out several years ago. And then things as it related to, you know, what am I here for? Why am I here? What am I meant to do? And I think we talked about that a bit before offline as it related to legacy. I think most of us at our core, we want to know who we are and why we exist. And that's incredibly, incredibly important. And once you have a grasp on that, it can be incredibly powerful because, I mean, literally the limits, there are no limits. You know, your possibilities for what you can do are absolutely endless.
You know, Dr. Bergina, thank you so much for being on our podcast today. I love how deep you are. And again, you can tell just from your tone of voice that you've spent a lot of time, not just thinking, but internalizing and applying it to your patients and now your clients. How can our guests connect with you, stay in touch with you, and buy your books?
Thanks so much for asking. My website is drbergina.com. Pretty simple. It's my name.com.
That's great.
We try to make it as simple as possible. It does link out to a couple of different pages, my professional page for treating patients, which I can do in the states that I'm licensed in. Now with COVID, there's been a state of emergency, so that's even added to where I can practice. And then from a coaching perspective, for those who are like my patient who said to me, I'm not going to see you as a psychiatrist, but if you're a life coach, we can have a conversation. I do coaching for folks who are in other areas of the United States and all over the world so that they can literally transform their lives and develop a mindset for success and for growth.
Dr. Bergina, thank you so much for being on our podcast. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.